Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Sarva dharma nista satta jagna vi umman.
Sarva dharma nista satta jagna
vi umman. Vinichatu mita tata palam imam.
Vinichatu mita tata palam imam.
Aryakritam bhagavato stavaishnavam.
Aryakritam
bhagavato stavaishnavam. Adam Sata jana vi uman.
Svadharma nishya sata jana vi uman.
Dirin chata meti tata param himam.
Dirin chata meti tata param himam.
Avyakritam bhagavato stavaishnavam.
Avyakritam bhagavato stavaishnavam.
Adamyataham vibhudha kalatyaye. Svadharmanishtha,
Svadharmanishtha,
one who is situated in his own dharma,
one who is situated in his own dharma,
or occupation,
Satyam
Madhvi,
for 100 births,
Uman,
a living entity,
Virinchattam, the post of the Lord Brahma,
Eti,
gets.
Yes.
Tata,
thereafter.
Param,
above.
He certainly.
Mam,
attains me.
Avyakritam,
without deviation.
Bhagavataha,
unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Atta,
therefore.
Vaishnavam, the pure devotee of the Lord.
After
the annihilation of the material world. Translation of the four by the Divine Grace of Prabhupada. A person who executes his occupational duty properly for 100 births becomes qualified to occupy the post of Lord Brahma. And if he becomes more qualified, he can approach Lord Shiva. A person who is directly surrendered to Lord Krishna or Vishnu in unalloyed devotional service is immediately promoted to the spiritual planets. Lord Shiva and the other demigods attain these planets. Lord Shiva and the other demigods attain these planets after the destruction of the material world. Before by his divine grace. This verse gives an idea of the highest perfection of the evolutionary process. As described by the Vaishnava poet Jayadeva Goswami, Pralaya Pashyomi Yajade Drittavana Asi Vedam. Let us begin tracing the evolutionary process from the point of devastation, Pralaya. When the whole universe is filled with water, at that time there are many fishes and other aquatics, and from these aquatics evolve the creepers and trees, etc. From these, insects and reptiles evolve, and from them, birds and beasts and human beings, and finally, civilized human beings. Now, the civilized human being is at a junction where he can make further evolutionary progress in spiritual life. Here it is stated, Sarva Dharma Nishtha, that when a living entity comes to civilized form of life, there must be Svadharma. Social division, according to one's work and qualification. This is indicated in the Bhagavad Gita 4.13. Chaturvayamayeshrikmayashrestam gunakarnavibhavishaham. According to the three modes of material nature and the work ascribed to them, the four divisions of human society were created by me. In civilized human society, there must be the divisions of Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Sudra. And everyone must properly execute his occupational duty in accordance with his division. Here it is described, Swadharma Nishtha, that it does not matter whether one is a Brahmana, a Kshatriya, a Vaishya, or a Sudra. If one sticks to the position, and properly executes his particular duty, he is considered a civilized human being. Otherwise, he is no better than an animal. It is also mentioned herein that whoever executes his occupational duty, Swadharma, for 100 births, for instance, if a Brahmana continues to act as a Brahmana, he becomes eligible for promotion to Brahmaloka, the planet where Lord Brahma lives. There is also a planet called Shivaloka, or Sadashivaloka, which is situated in a marginal position between the spiritual and the material worlds. If after being situated in Brahmaloka, one becomes more qualified, he is promoted to Sadashivaloka. Similarly, when one becomes even more qualified, he can attain the Vaikuntha Lokas. The Vaikuntha Lokas are targets for everyone, even the demigods, and they can be attained by a devotee who has no desire for material benefit. As indicated in the Bhagavad Gita 18:16, one does not escape the material miseries even if he is elevated to Brahmaloka, Abrahma Bhuvana Loka, Puna Abritanojana. Similarly, one is not very safe even if he is promoted to Shivaloka, because the planet of Shivaloka is marginal. However, if one attains Vaikuntha Loka, he attains the highest perfection of life and the end of the evolutionary process. Mamupecha tukunteya puna jamana vijate. In other words, it is confirmed herein that a person in human society who has developed consciousness must take the Krishna consciousness in order to be promoted to Vaikuntha Loka or Krishna Loka immediately after leaving the body. A devotee who is fully in Krishna consciousness, who is not attracted by any other loka or planet, including Brahma Loka or Shiva Loka, is immediately transferred to Krishna Loka, Mam Eti. That is the highest perfection of life and the perfection of the evolutionary process. Omagana Timidanda Shaganandana Sharabhya Chakshurana Prasma Shri Gurudevaha Pancha Kalpata Rajasta Kita Sundarbhaya Chapatitana Bhavana Vibhashana Vibhomina Shri Krishna Jaitanya Prabhu Chananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shilaka Dora Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So the festival season begins. Everybody's getting geared up for all the different festivals. A wonderful time. So in this purport, the highest perfection of evolutionary process is described. It's a little different to the materialist concept of evolution, but we don't take much notice of what the scientists and materialists put as their process of evolution. We understand that this, from the Bhagavatam, is the process of evolution. It's amazing, you know, Krishna consciousness is just amazing. We as devotees are so fortunate because we can actually relish esoteric pastimes, esoteric things, things that are beyond this material world. You know, you get the mundane scientists and all they've got is the facts, hardcore facts of material things. But the devotee has such a great opportunity to understand esoteric things. Like today is Lord Balaram's appearance day. We're going to read about the pastimes of Lord Balaram. For a materialist, this is just like a completely popular fairy story. But we can actually delve deep into his pastimes and relish, and we can feel his pastimes from within. So Krishna consciousness is a specialized knowledge. It's an esoteric knowledge, a great boon to all of us. So here it's pointed out that according to the different divisions of human society, whether you're a Kshatriya, Brahmana, Vaishya, or Sudra, if you maintain that area of expertise in that for 100 years, say for example, Brahma Loka, the analogy of a Brahmana, then you will attain Brahma Loka. But even there's the opportunity of falling down and coming back to this earth plane. So Prabhupada is describing here a civilized man, or woman, civilized humanity. What is civilized humanity? Prabhupada very often indicates that a civilized person is one who can follow the regulative principles. The regulative principles of human life. If one can live in those principles and be a devotee of the Lord, understanding that everything comes from the Lord, and rendering service to the Lord, then that person is living a civilized life. In this material world, we cannot escape the miseries of material entanglement in any easy way. Even if we manage to get to Brahma Loka, which is very, very high in the rankings of, to get to that place in the demigods, or even Shiva Loka, still there is this pulling down energy wanting us to come back. It's not very easy to get to Vaishnava, Vaikuntha Loka, to Krishna Loka. Krishna has his agents making sure that we're well and truly embodied into this material world. And so even if one advances and makes some advances, there is still that pulling down element of Maya. Maya always wants to bring us down, you know? Because she's there for us to actually make sure that we are sincere and actually wanting to go back to Krishna. Is there any material desire that you still have? Is there still some hankering that you have? You're not completely surrendered to Krishna? There was an analogy that I just heard the other day. We should be, as devotees, we should be so desperate for Krishna, and it's compared to a person that's dying of thirst in the desert. That you know, when a person is in a desert and they're parched and they're dry and there's no water, and they crawl into the desert and they're so anxious to have water. That's what our need for Krishna should be. We should thirst so much for Krishna. So this is not an easy thing. So my lady is there ready to pull us down at any moment. Even if you become a big, big Brahmana, big, big Kshatriya, big, big Vaishya, somehow or other, big, big devotee, Krishna's always ready to pull you down. And we see that in the example of Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada was always wary. Always concerned that Maya could at any stage disrupt his Krishna consciousness. So we've got to be really careful, especially in this Kali Yuga. In this Kali Yuga there is the pulling down element. Maya Devi is there as the security guard. You know, when you go to a nightclub or some other place, there's a security guard. Are you really qualified to come into this place? This is why Maya Devi's job. So to get out of this material world requires a great lot of strength, spiritual strength. Spiritual strength that we can say we don't want any more selfishness, no more material selfishness. We simply want to serve the Lord and His devotees, and then we'll make advancement to go back home, back to God, Godhead. So in this endeavor we need help, because it's something that's very hard to do by ourselves. You know, like if you have a sports person. A sports person may have some abilities, but to really develop those abilities and to bring that person to their full potential, what do they need? They need a coach to get them up in the morning. Come on, let's go, you've got to train, you've got to do this. You can do this and this better. You can do that and that better. So there's a coach. So on this day, which is Baladev's appearance day, Lord Balaram's appearance day, we should have this as our meditation. Because in ultimate sense, Lord Balaram is our spiritual coach. He's our spiritual coach. He's the one that gives us strength. We should pray to Lord Balaram to give us his merciful assistance. And later on, I'm going to read a prayer by a very nice prayer which Forma put up on his Facebook. And at the end, I'd like to recite this prayer for you. So we need to pray to Lord Balaram for his merciful assistance, to draw on our own spiritual strength, because it's there within us. We can do this. Ultimately, Prabhupada says, In the ultimate end, we fly our own plane. And that's the same with the coach. The coach, for say, an athlete, a runner, can do all the training and everything and can set you up on the starting blocks and can say, now it's up to you. So that's the same with us. We need the training, but then in the ultimate end, it is our own spiritual strength which will actually see us to the end. So, this is Baladev's appearance day. Srila Prabhupada said that Lord Bala, Balaram, Bala actually means strength. Strength. But not necessarily just physical strength, because Lord Balaram was physically strong, but spiritual strength. And Rama means to take pleasure. So Balaram. So we should pray to Lord Balaram to give us strength to overcome any obstacles that we see in our life, the impediments on our spiritual path by coming back to Godhead, to carry out our service to the Vaishnavas, our gurus, and to Radha and Krishna. This is our job, to actually make progress. So who is Lord Balaram? Lord Balaram is an absolutely amazing personality. You know, and again, here we enter into the esoterics of spiritual life. That domain which is beyond the mundane materialists. So, I've taken down some notes as to who Lord Balaram is, and I'd like to read them out to you, just to give you an idea of this amazing transcendental personality. So Lord Balaram, first of all, in the Krishna Leela, when Krishna was on this planet 5,000 years ago, he was the seventh child of Devaki. And we all know, we're going to hear the story of how Kamsa entrapped Vasudeva and Devaki, and the eighth child will be the one that's going to destroy you. And Kamsa, you know, we do all those plays, and Kamsa is so perplexed, well, I'll kill every baby. So this guy wasn't exactly the nicest of fellows. So we're going to read more about and hear more about the pastimes of Kamsa and how he imprisoned Devaki and Vasudeva. But anyway, Lord Balaram was the seventh child of Devaki, a divine incarnation, the very first expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Shankarshan. So when actually Devaki was spiritually impregnated and was pregnant, she could feel this incredible joy and bliss and glow in her body. And she knew that this was an amazing form of divinity that was coming through her. So at that time, Lord Krishna called upon Yogamaya potency and instructed Yogamaya that I want you to transfer this beautiful child who is none other than Balaram, my original expansion, this first of all incarnations of Godhead, to the womb of Rohini, from the womb of Devaki. So this is, again, if you tell the materialist this story, it's like the transferring of one baby to another. It's like, so anyway, by Krishna's potency, Yogamaya actually transferred this little baby, Balaram, to the womb of Rohini. Now, Vasudeva had many wives. Devaki was one wife, Rohini was another wife, he had many wives. And for the sake of protecting Rohini, he actually sent Rohini to the village of Nandamaraj for protection. So the cowherd boys and girls and ladies were protecting Rohini, and Kamsa didn't have an influence in that village. So this child was transferred to the womb of Rohini, and as it was a full moon night on the moon of Shravan, that this beautiful child was born, Sri Balaram. Now, when we speak of the absolute truth of Godhead, when we, as devotees, we speak of God, Godhead. You know, Prabhupada was always emphatic. We don't just use the word God, we use the word Godhead, the pinnacle. There are many, many gods, but God is, especially in Hindu tradition, when I'm dealing with various Hindu communities, they basically say there are so many gods, all gods. But actually, Prabhupada made a point that there's Godhead. So when we're talking about the truth of Godhead, Vishnu Tattva, Balaram's presence is important in this. So it is described in the scriptures, Krishna tu Bhagavan Swayam, that Krishna is the original form of the Absolute. Govinda Mari Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. He is Adi Purusha, the original person. Now, when Krishna is in the spiritual world, or in Goloka Vrindavan, when he wants to enjoy transcendental lila, his first expansion of himself to Vaibhava Prakash is Baladeva. So his first expansion, he actually expands himself, and that first expansion is Lord Balaram. So Baladeva is the original servant of Godhead. He is Krishna himself, but in the same token, he appears as a servant of Krishna. And how he does that, how does he appear to serve Krishna? So this is the uniqueness of Lord Balaram. Again, very esoteric. There is no other personality like him, actually. Balaji, he takes part, actually, in all the five rasas with Krishna's lila. Somehow or other, he wanted to partake in all the five rasas. So we know the rasas that he had in Vrindavan. First of all, there's the Santaras. In Santaras, Balaji, who expands himself through his energy, created the whole of Goloka Vrindavan. So the Vrindavan that we see today, when we go to Vrindavan on pilgrimage, that Vrindavan was created by Lord Balaram. The spiritual world of Goloka is the expansion of the energy of Balaram. So a land which all the surroundings simply offer the most loving and sweet service to the Lord. So everything in the Goloka Vrindavan is geared towards service to the Lord. Lord Balaram also expands himself through his energies as Krishna's crown, his flute, his slippers, his clothes, and all of his ornaments. So here we have this personality, which is an expansion of Krishna, actually forming all these different ornaments. It's all Balaram himself just appearing in the most wonderful forms just to give pleasure and service to Krishna and to assist him in attracting the hearts of all the beings by his beautiful decorated form. So you can see all these beautiful decorations every time we come and worship the deities here, and we see these ornaments going on. Look at Lord Jagannath and Lord Baladeva today. All these ornaments, they're beautifying Krishna. Krishna himself is beautiful. But the ornaments actually make him even more beautiful. That's Lord Balaram. So sometimes we have to be really mindful. You know, we're very, very secure in our worship of the deities. We look after the deities very well. But sometimes we have to be also really careful with the paraphernalia of Krishna. Because that is also Krishna. And as it's understood here, this is also Balaram. So sometimes, being a pujari for many years, sometimes there is neglect as far as people looking after the paraphernalia of the Lord. Those of you that are pujaris sometimes see how, you know, the paraphernalia is sometimes handled roughly. We should be extremely careful when we're dealing with Krishna's paraphernalia, because it is none other than Krishna himself. So this is in the Santaras. Then there's the Dashkaras, the Servitaras. So Balaram is in the mood of menial service, always trying to please Krishna. He is his servant in every way. The Sakyaras, he appears as Krishna's friend. Everybody knows how Krishna and Balaram used to go into the fields with the cows, and they would play with the cowherd boys, and they would wrestle, and they would fight, and Krishna would fight with Balaram, and sometimes Balaram would win, and sometimes Krishna would win, and other times they would be having arguments. And all the while it was in the mood of giving pleasure to one another. It's all a question of giving pleasure. So that's the Sakyaras. So he was a friend. Now Balaram was also Krishna's elder brother. So he was, you know, his elder brother. And you guys that here that have an older sibling, you know, there's a little bit of pressure from the elder brother, correct? So that's the Vatsalyaras. He took the role of looking after Krishna. You know, he used to go to Krishna sometimes, and Mother Yashoda would be there, and he'd pop on the wall, "Hey Krishna, come out of here quickly. Don't stay in bed, come, we've got to go, we've got to round up the cows. You know, Krishna, it's your birthday today, come on, we've got to do something." So Krishna was always pressured by Lord Balaram. So he was a fraternal personality as well. He looked after Krishna in a brotherly way, elder brotherly way. Sometimes in the forest, when there would be danger, No, Krishna, Lord Balaram would say, Krishna, you stay here, I'll take care of him. So this is the elder brother, isn't it? He always protects the younger siblings. So then in the final one, in the Madhurya Ras, you know, this is sometimes you think, well, how could Balaram enter into the Madhurya Ras? You know, which is the conjugal pastimes between Radha and Krishna. But Balaram wanted to be part of that as well. But Radharani was actually very fearful of Balaram because he's the elder brother. You know, he's like the parent figure. And she felt, you know, oh God, if he sees me with Krishna, there'll be all hell to pay. But Balaram wanted to be part of the pastimes. But it's just like, say for example, when we were younger, we used to go to socials, you know, dances. Did you ever do that? Here in Australia, we have socials. And boys and girls would come together for the first time and have a dance together. So the last thing you wanted when you're first time you're dancing with a girl was to have your parents there or your elder brother. You know, it's like, oh gosh, dad's there, you know. So you couldn't really have a nice time with this young girl dancing. It's simple, innocent. So we used to have that. So in the same way, Radharani feared Lord Balaram. So they were sort of fearful. And Balaram was sort of fearful of Radharani. Oh, I better not disturb her because, you know, she's so close to Krishna. So then what he did, he actually expanded himself. And here's that esoteric point again. He expanded himself as an Anga Manjari. Simultaneously, he was an Anga Manjari who was Krishna, Radharani's younger sister. So she was constantly with Radharani. And she could plan all the pastimes and be part of the whole conjugal relationship there. So this is Lord Balaram. Isn't it mystical? Isn't it amazing? So this is the way Balaram, he provided service to Krishna in all the five primary rasas. He provided service in every way. So he's unique in this manner. So Balaram is the source of all incarnations. It's stated in the Shastra that he is the source of all incarnations. For the purpose of creation, for Krishna, he first expands as Balaram. From Balaram, he expands to Sankarsana, Aniruddha, Prajumna, and Vasudeva. And from the Chaturvuya, is expanded to is the expansion of Narayan, the Lord of Vaikuntha. And from that expansion, he expands to the secondary Prajumna, Aniruddha, and Vasudeva to Sankarsana. From that Sankarsana, he incarnates as Adi Shankara, who is the original Lord Shiva, which is reading the pastimes of Lord Shiva. So again, there's that mystical sort of interplay. Actually, systematically, we can understand that Vaishnava Nama Yata Sambhu, that Shiva is the greatest, the supreme, supreme devotee of all the Vaishnavas. Why? Because he is an expansion of Lord Balaram. And now, that same Sankarsana expands himself when it's time for creation of the creation as Garbhadaksha Vishnu. So again, Balaram is the instrument. Krishna is just Nikaloka Vrindavan with his cowherd girls. This leaves the hard work to Lord Balaram. So you incarnate as Garbhadaksha Vishnu and create the universe. And from Mahavishnu, all the planets emanate from his body, the universes. He enters into each and every universe as Vishnu. And then he enters into each and every living entity, Garbhadaksha Vishnu. So Mahavishnu is the creator. So Lord Balaram is basically the supreme engineer. You know, more and more in science today, we're finding out how amazing this universe is. You know, I just watched this documentary on the Hubble telescope and how they've projected this thing so far into this universe. And you see all the countless planets and stars and suns and moons and everything. Absolutely amazing. And this is all coming from Krishna. So Krishna, and when you analyze every aspect of creation, everything is so intricately designed. So precision creation. You know, everything, when now they're doing the science, the study of the human anatomy and going into the cellular structure, in each and individual cell, the structure of the cell is so complex and technical
There are so many that people can't fathom how this actually is created. So this is the creation of the Supreme Lord. Not only is he the supreme architect and engineer to set everything up, simultaneously he is the supreme artist, the supreme creative force, artistic force. You see, any aspect of nature, you can see the technical side of it, how wonderful it is, how precise it is, how everything moves exactly as it should. Any aspect, just even the birth of a child or whatever, just how it grows, how hair grows, how skin grows, how anything grows. Technically, it's an engineering amazing feat. But artistically, in the same token, Lord presents such beauty in his creation. Recently I was listening to a lecture by Hridayananda Maharaj, and he was explaining how absolutely beautiful a snowflake is. Has anybody ever seen a snowflake under a microscope?
Yeah.
Isn't it the most beautiful creation? Has anybody ever put under a microscope a grain of sand? What does it look like? Like a beautiful jewel. It's absolutely amazing. A grain of sand. We see how many grains of sand are there on this planet alone. You know, you couldn't count it. But each little speck of grain, which when you think, oh, there's a bit of sand, right? You just wipe it off. If you actually analyze it and go deep in it, it is the most beautiful artistic jewel. Do it for one time. Check it out. See. And this is Krishna's creation. So this is Lord Balaram being able to do this. So he's the supreme engineer and he's the supreme artist. So all the varieties of incarnations that come into this world, Matsya avatar, Raha, Lord Nisringa, Vamanadeva, all the different avatars are actually incarnations of Kiridaksai Vishnu, which is Lord Balaram. So in this way we can understand that Balaram is the source of all incarnations. He's actually the source of all incarnations. But he is also in the mood of servitor because he is the supreme personality of Godhead in the mood of a servitor. So he is serving the Supreme Lord. He is considered to be the original spiritual master. Lord Balaram is the supreme spiritual master, our spiritual coach, our push, our drive. So in Lord Vrindavan we see in this picture where Krishna holds his flute, right? When we see Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan, here also we see Krishna and he's holding this beautiful flute, while Balaram holds a plow in the pastimes. He holds his plow. That's his specialty. So this is very significant. Why does Krishna carry a flute? He carries a flute to attract the former conditioned souls, to attract everyone to him. You know, we've read those pastimes in Krishna book where when Krishna plays his flute, all the cowherd boys become infatuated, all the cowherd girls, all the plants, the animals, the cows, everything. Ah, oh, Krishna's playing his flute. They're enchanted by Krishna's playing of the flute. And simply attracts the charm and hearts of every living being in loving service. All they want to do is serve Krishna because they hear his loving flute. Now, why does Balaram carry a plough? What does a plough do? Anybody have any idea what a plough does? What? What does the plough do? Very good. But in actuality, if I gave you a plough to work with, what do you do with it? What? Huh? Yeah. What do you do in the field? Yeah, the good earth. Why would you want to do that? Why would you want to dig up the sand? Huh?
To sow seed.
To sow seed, exactly. Exactly, very good point. What he said was, we have the plough. The plough is to rake over the earth, to make the earth soft, and so the plant can grow in it. So Balaram actually uses the plough to pull our heart open so Krishna can play his flute and the creeper of bhakti can grow. So this is Lord Balaram. Either the use of the plough for the purpose of agriculture or even in roads, clearing obstacles. You know, like when you get a big rock in the road, you use a plough to get rid of that. So his words are like the plough, to make the hearts nice and soft so the seeds of devotion can grow. and be attracted to the sweet sound of Krishna's flute. So this is again is that strength. You know, to actually have a plough, you need strength. So this is Bala again. So that's what Balaram's plough is for. Through his representative, the spiritual master, which we found out now that Lord Balaram is also the representative of the spiritual master, he softens our hearts and prepares the fields of our heart to be with love, to be attracted to the flute of Krishna. And as far as clearing the road is concerned, the spiritual master clears all the obstacles from our spiritual path, just as one uses a plough for that purpose. So Lord Balaram again removes those, or helps us to remove those obstacles. So the spiritual master is a representative of Balaji. In all the wonderful incarnations of the Supreme Lord, the principal incarnations, we find Balaram as Narayan. So Balaram appears as Shankarshan or Seshanaga, and he becomes the Lord's bed, and Lakshmi is massaging his feet, and Balaram actually forms his bed. So again, very esoteric here, this personality actually forms a bed for the Lord. In the avatar of Ramchandra, the Sitaram Leela, Balaram appears as his younger brother Lakshman. Again, in that mood of simply wanting to be the servant of Ram, always wanting to serve. This is Lakshman's direction. So in the Mahabharata, when we read the pastimes of Krishna and the Kuru dynasty and the Pandavas, those pastimes culminate in the Bhagavad Gita, major part of the Mahabharata. It's interesting to note that during the whole battle of Kurukshetra, Balaram didn't want to take sides. He took off and went on pilgrimage. He went to all those different places in South India. He went to Badrinath, Kedarnath, Jamuna Nutri, Gangotri. He went to all the holy places, north and south, and then when the battle was over, then he came back, because he wanted to remain neutral. So it's interesting how that relationship happens, different personalities. And of course, in the final incarnation of Lord Balaram, we have the wonderful Gauranitam, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda, where again, Lord Nityananda appeared as Lord Chaitanya's brother, but not really his brother, because when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, he appeared along with Lord Nityananda, although not born in the same family. Balaram was an expansion of Vishwarupa, appeared directly as the older brother of Lord Chaitanya, as I mentioned. But the original form of Balaram appeared as Nityananda, who was an older brother in another way. He was the god-brother of Lord Chaitanya. So this is really interesting when we have this pastime. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted initiation from Ishwara Puri. And Ishwara Puri took initiation from Madhavendra Puri. And Lord Nityananda took initiation from Madhavendra Puri. So that meant that he was actually his uncle, spiritual uncle. Just like we have the Prabhupada disciples, for us that are second wave of Krishna consciousness, those Prabhupada disciples are like our uncles. So Lord Nityananda was actually an uncle, devotional uncle, or god-brother to Lord Chaitanya. But he never played that role at all. He never felt himself superior in any way to Lord Chaitanya. And again, that mood of servitude came in again. And Lord Nityananda only served Lord Chaitanya. All he wanted was simple service to Lord Chaitanya. There was no servant who could equal Lord Nityananda. Because he understood that the most intimate meditation of the Lord's heart was to deliver the divine mercy of the holy name to everyone and anyone without discrimination. So this is really interesting. This was the mission of Lord Chaitanya, to bring this chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra to everyone, to every town and village. And Lord Nityananda understood that. So Lord Nityananda understood that it was best for him to take on the role of a grihastha. So he was a grihastha so he wouldn't get criticized too much. You know how Lord Chaitanya was oftentimes criticized because he was a sannyas? Lord Nityananda couldn't care. He was a grihastha. He was avadut. I can do what I damn well like and preach. So he was very much independent like that. We find in the Chaitanya Charitamrita and also in the Chaitanya Bhagavat that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he did preaching, He preached to the masses, but he also preached to the upper class of society. He preached to King Prataparudra. What was his name? Prakashananda Saraswati. He preached to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. King Prataparudra was one. And big leaders, big Mayavadi leaders, and Buddhist leaders, and Muslim leaders, the Chankazi, and then to masses of people. Lord Nityananda didn't do that. He preached to the most fallen. He preached to the most out of it. So Lord Nityananda preached to the most fallen sinful class. And there's the story of Jagai Mother. He simply had the desire that he wanted these sinful people to become Vaishnavas. That was his mission. So, you know, I mean, there's stories as to who Jagai Mother were. I mean, they fit in really well in this time and place, actually. But for that time and place, they were really out of it. They were murderers, they were rapists, they were drunkards, they were debauchees, they were worse. And Lord Nityananda went out to save them. So Lord Nityananda used to say, he was very anxious, and he would say, if I can make these two people, Vaishnavas, by invoking the holy name in their life, then I can do the greatest service for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So in this day and age, in this fallen age of Kali, that's who we need on our side. Because when we preach to people, what was mentioned in the purport here about civilized human beings, there aren't that many civilized human beings on this planet. You know, Krishna says that a devotee is very rare. And so the majority of people live animalistic lives, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. So, and they're really debauched in so many different ways. You know, there is drunkenness everywhere, there's intoxication everywhere, there's never been so much heavy intoxication on young people at the moment. There's a rampant illicit sexuality in all different manners, and there's killing of innocent lives going on either in human form, in abortions, or animal form. So this is the most fallen. So Lord Nityananda wanted us to also partake in that mission of reforming those people as we were reformed. We were those animalistic people at one stage in our life. And by his mercy, we can actually fulfill that by helping him. Another pastime that Lord Balaram is very famous for, and this was, I read this just recently. I don't know, I mentioned the last time I gave class about this book that Kadamba Kalana Maharaj has written just recently, Under the Desire Trees. Has anybody else read this yet, this book? Very wonderful book, really nice. It's Pastimes of Lord Balaram and Krishna and all the different holy places in Vrindavan. Maharaj does this little commentary in his own unique way. So there is this pastime with the Nukasura. The Nukasura was an ass in the Taliban forest. And the cowherd boys, and Krishna and Balaram, the cowherd boys were getting hungry. And they knew this forest, this Taliban forest, was a really nice forest where there were these delicious fruits. And so they thought, let's go down there. Yeah, let's go. But there's a couple of demons there. Oh, who cares? Krishna and Balaram are here. We can go with this fruit. So they ate to their heart's content. And then this ass, the Nukasura and his friends, they came and they started attacking. You're stealing our fruit. It's selfishness. They wanted to keep all the fruit for themselves. And he and Krishna, Lord Balaram and Krishna, they were just killing these ass-like people, individuals, these asuras, killing them. And so in the end, there was a mass of all these asses, and the devotees could keep on eating these delicious fruits in Taliban forest. So in the same way, Balaji, who represents our Gurudev, our supreme teacher, if we allow him to kill the asses of selfishness within us, because that's the big thing, selfishness, we want to enjoy. You know, it's always, when it boils down to it, it's me consciousness. Me. I. So these are the Danupasura's qualities. We have to kick them out. So just as Balaram and Krishna kick these out, Balaram will kick them out of our hearts. And then by kicking them out of our hearts, we're able to love and appreciate Krishna in so much better way. So on Balaram's appearance day, it's most auspicious time to remember the mercy of the spiritual master, because the spiritual master is the personality that actually helps us in this area of clearing out this selfish mentality that we have. So we have so many different spiritual masters, actually. We have our Diksha Guru, who we should be very respectful for, but we also have Shiksha Gurus. And on this day, we should remember and meditate on those people, those mentors, those coaches that we have that are helping us in our spiritual life, and see that they are the representatives of Lord Balaram. So, in that way, we can actually transcend this material world and become ready to go back home, back to Godhead, escaping this material existence. Whether it's Brahma Loka, Shiva Loka, whatever Loka, we're not interested. We've only got one place that we want to go. We want to go back home, back to Godhead with Krishna. So at this time, as I said, this is a festive time. This is the start of the festive season with Lord Balaram's appearance day, Guru and Yatra. This is our esoteric time of festivals, of enjoying these transcendental pastimes. So this is also leading up to Janmashtami, where we have Krishna's beautiful pastimes, and then Vyasa Puja. And Vyasa Puja, as is mentioned here, Lord Balaram, is the power of the Guru, the spiritual master. So the greatest Guru that has ever walked on this planet is his divine grace, Srila Prabhupada. He has saved so many. In the moon of Lord Balaram, he has saved so many fallen souls, like us, all sitting here in this room. So on that Vyasa Puja day, it is so important that we acknowledge and we appreciate the work that Srila Prabhupada has done and how he has personally affected each and every one of us. So I put a notice on, and I spoke to Anirudha Prabhu the other day about it. He put a notice on the notice board that, you know, at Vyasa Puja time we have an opportunity to actually express how we feel about Srila Prabhupada. You know, how we personally feel. How has Prabhupada actually changed your life? How has Prabhupada got that plow and got those big rocks out of the way? How has Prabhupada turned the soil to put the seed of bhakti in your heart? Personally, each and every one of us. So Prabhupada said, if you want to really solidify realizations, you should write them down. And that's why the process of Vyasa Puja and writing a homage to your spiritual master is so important. We should all do it. Now, we may not get an opportunity at the time of the Vyasa Puja ceremony here in the temple room, but we still should still do it to read it out aloud to Srila Prabhupada. The Prabhupada is always here. Prabhupada is in his picture, and even if you did it, you wrote it, and you read it to him at home in front of the picture of Prabhupada, or when the ceremony is over, and everybody is gone, the kirtan has stopped, and you read it to Prabhupada. There is a connection that we have to hold strong, connection with Srila Prabhupada. And so you write it. How has Prabhupada actually affected my life? Personally, really think about it. You know, really analyze. When you read Prabhupada's Vyasa Puja homages to his spiritual master, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, you know, you see how heartfelt it is and how grateful he is about this. By example, he shows us what we should be thinking. So on this day, we should really meditate on this. And so this is Balaram's appearance day. He is the empowerment of the Guru. He's the fulfillment of the Guru. And so we should start thinking about our Vyasa Puja homage right from today. Make some notes. Oh, he's done this in my life. He changed this in my life. And make a note and then do a final draft. When you do that, that solidifies your connection with Prabhupada for the whole year. You can read it over and over again during the year. We have to have that connection. And then simultaneously, you also do that for your own spiritual master, your Diksha Guru. But Prabhupada is the founder, Acharya, and the Param Guru for all of us for the next 10,000 years. We can't forget that. It's by Prabhupada's mercy and Prabhupada's mercy alone that this ISKCON movement is flourishing all over the world. So we are so grateful to him. And so from this day, we make a commitment on Balaram's appearance day that we can start analysing ourselves and our appreciation for our Guru Maharaj. So, as I said, I'll finish up with this prayer that Korma Prabhu posted on Facebook. Korma Prabhu was the very senior devotee here in Melbourne Temple. We learnt a lot. I see him as one of my Shiksha Gurus. I learnt a lot from him. We all did. And he was like a plough sometimes, I'll tell you. He moved some heavy rocks. Even when we were working with Gopals with him, he moved some heavy rocks for us, I'll tell you. Korma was a beautiful person. He is a beautiful person. And on Facebook, he wrote this. He wrote down this prayer. It's the Sri Balabhadra Stotra Kavacha. And I'd like to read that out in conclusion. So, this is a prayer to Lord Balaram. May Lord Balaram, the master of Gokula, the supreme controller of all, controls who is always glorified by pure kirtan, protect me. May Lord Balaram, appearing as an Antashesha, who on holding on his hands holds the earth as if it were a single mustard seed, protect me on the earth. So the earth needs protection at the moment. May Lord Balaram protect me when I'm surrounded by many armies, sinful activities, maya. May Lord Balaram, who holds the plough, always protect me in battle. We're going to have battles with ourselves and also in life. I ask Lord Balaram to protect us. May Lord Balaram, who holds a club, always protect me in the fortress. O Shankarshan, protect me in the forest of illusion. May Lord Balaram, who wears blue garments and who stopped the Jamuna, protect me in water. May Lord Balaram protect me in the wind. May Lord Balaram protect me in the sky. May Lord Balaram, who is Lord Ananta himself, always protect me in the great ocean. May Lord Balaram, who is Vasudev's son, protect me in the mountains. May Lord Balaram, who has thousands of hands, protect me in times of war. May Lord Balaram, Rohini Nandana, protect me from desires, material desires, the I want, me consciousness. May Lord Balaram, Kamapala, who fulfills desire, protect me from catastrophes. It's not that catastrophes won't come, but he will help you through those catastrophes. May Lord Balaram, Danuka Kari, who killed the demon Danuka Sura, always protect me from lust, because that I want and me attitude is simply lust. You want satisfaction. Protect me from lust. May Lord Balaram, who killed Dravida, always protect me from anger. And this is another major thing. From lust, anger comes. And how easy are we to anger? If you drive on the West Gate Bridge, you'll know the quality of anger very quickly. Protect me from anger. Help me to stay calm. Put on a kirtan and just drive. May Lord Balaram, who's the enemy of Balabala, always protect me from greed, hoarding things. May Lord Balaram, Magadhar, the enemy of Jarasandha, always protect me from illusion. May Lord Balaram, Rishni Durya, the best of the Rishnis, always protect me at sunrise. May Lord Balaram, Mathura Pundara, the king of Mathura city, kindly protect me in the morning. May Lord Balaram, Gopa Shaka, friends of the Gopas, always protect me at midday. May Lord Balaram, who is completely independent, always protect me in the afternoon. May Lord Balaram, Panindro, the king of the serpents, always protect me at sunset. May Lord Balaram, who is greater than the greatest, always protect me in the evening. May Lord Balaram, whose power is invincible, always protect me in the midnight. May Lord Balaram always protect me at every sunrise. May Lord Balaram, Revati Pati, the husband of Revati, protect me from the four immediate directions, northeast, northwest, southeast, southwest. May Lord Balaram, Pralambari, the enemy of the Pralamba, protect me from the four directions, north, south, east, and west. May Lord Balaram, the best of the Yadavas, protect me from below. May Lord Balaram always protect me from above. May Lord Baladev protect me here and everywhere. Baladev Purnamaki,
Jai,
Lord Balaman Supreme Sai Ki,
Jai,
Srila Prabhupada Ki,
Jai,
Tagore Premanandi. Any comments or questions today, please?
Muito bem. Lord Srila Prabhupada of Vitamatis Goswami, he was going to pay obeisance to the deities. Srila Prabhupada took a long time when he was being. So, Kumar Vishnu asked Prabhupada after he finished. Srila Prabhupada, you took a lot of time for three musicians in a very wonderful meeting. They said, Srila Prabhupada said that I am praying to the Lord that I am not falling in Maya.
Yeah.
That was the truth.
And that's the example for us. We should always ask for protection. Please don't let me fall into Maya. Because Maya is there to keep us down. She wants to keep us in this material. It's her job. It's her job. And we want to go higher than Brahma Loka, we want to go higher than Shiva Loka, we don't want to dwell in the heavenly planets, we want to go back to Goloka Vrindavan. So that means no desire, no material desire. And you ask Lord Balaram to please protect me. Please protect me from that. Yes?
And
your
Prabhupada said that the Arjuna,
yeah. Yeah, true. Very good point. I don't know, that's esoteric. Read it, say it again. Okay.
He said Balarama was the enemy of Janasandha, but Krishna, Arjuna and Bhima went to kill Janasandha.
That's right. So how did Balarama do it? Any comments? Anybody would like to answer that one?
We'll talk about it later, I'm not sure.
Any other comments or questions? Yes, please.
So you mentioned Balaram, he decided not to take part
in the battle of Kurukshetra.
And then he went for the pilgrimage. But then at the same time, he's expansion of Krishna.
Yeah.
So then, how we can understand this move, as in like, he's having his own like decision or his own.
Yeah, it's actually impartiality. Krishna loves the demons as well. So in that lila, it's showing that, you know, Krishna was on the side of the Pandavas. But in another sense, Lord Balaram said, okay, I don't want any part of this, I'm out of here. So it shows the impartiality of Krishna. So Krishna even loves the enemies in that sense, you know. And he didn't want the conflict happening. He actually tried to mediate that there wasn't a conflict, but then when it was too, he was actually on the tour down. Sorry, she saw this thing. He said, this is too much for me, I'm out of here. So the example that we can learn from that is the impartiality of Krishna. Mm-hmm. Any other things? Yes, please.
Balaram is an enemy of Jarasandha without
fighting. True. Yeah.
Because he's, you know, he's Krishna's brother.
Yeah.
And Jarasandha is antagonistic towards
Krishna.
Prabhupada obviously.
They would play both.
He's on his side.
Yeah.
Although.
Did you get that?
Although, conversely, as you say, it's paradoxical.
Balaram
wasn't in favor of the and was inclined towards Duryodhana.
Yeah, because
Duryodhana was his student in the art of fighting with love.
Yeah.
And, you know, in the battle for example, it's very interesting because you see very different personalities like Vishnupada and others were influenced by the association of the Kauravas.
That's right.
And because of that association, they then were put in conflict or in apparent conflict with Krishna and Arjuna and the Pandavas. So, it's something that.
Yeah, as we started off.
I don't understand it.
No. That's it. What we were mentioning when we first started was, you know, how the devotees have this ability to relish esoteric subject matter. you know, and this is so beyond basic material, but we can still relish it. Actually, you know, on your point, Anirudha made a really good point. Say if you had a bigger brother, if you had a fight with somebody at school, right? Your bigger brother would be upset, correct? That you had any fight with somebody. But if he did that, right? So he would be upset. So in the same way, Lord Bhagavan was upset that he had to have that battle with Jayasimha. You get it? Yes, Guru?
Does it mean that rather than understanding like pastime very deeply or thoroughly, we should just rather focus on this esoteric side and just take it as it is? And
we can analyze up to a point, but basically it's a bath for us. You know, like Prabhupada specifically put out the Krishna book so that we could wash ourselves in the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. When we read the Krishna book, Prabhupada said the best time to read a Krishna book is just before you go to bed. If you can read a little bit of Krishna book every night before you go to bed, that washes your consciousness for that most ignorant time of our day, which is when we slip into sleep. So we don't have to analyze all the different, you know, how is it that the flute can talk, how is it that the cows, you know, we don't have to analyze that. That's a materialist sort of point of view. From a spiritual point of view, from an esoteric point of view, we just let it wash over us. Just by reading those pastimes, by reading the Chaitanya Charitamrita, by reading the Bhagavatam, and in particular the Krishna book. And when we go to the past, like actually Kadambakama Maharaj was mentioning that. When you're at those different pilgrimage sites in Vrindavan, it's not that we want to analyze everything, we just let it wash over us. We just let it be part of it, delve into it. So it's a meditation that we don't necessarily focus too much, but we let it just wash over us. And that's when we relish it, we feel it, you know? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Thank you. Yes, please.
At this point, what I understand, Jarasandha himself, he was the father-in-law for Kamsa. Mm.
Oh,
and
yeah,
and he spent a lot of time on his kingdom. So about 21 times.
Yeah, yeah.
And he
was pretty determined.
Yeah. And the Lord Balaram, he always wanted to kill him.
Yeah.
And Lord Krishna always said, no, no, no.
Not worth it.
Not yet.
Yeah.
Maybe that's another reason you can see.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. Yeah, thank you for that. Yeah, it's interesting the pastimes that Krishna has, you know? All those different leelas and, yeah. So, you have a question?
I don't know if it's going to be Subhadra.
Oh, that's a whole other thing.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that's right.
Not
really. I love who's alive. Life and death. Yeah, there's that banter. Well, that's what we mentioned, you know, in the rasa with Krishna. Arjuna, Balaram would fight with Krishna. We're wrestling, you know, had him on the ground. Now I've got you. You know, so, yeah.
Balaram had attacked Mathura so many times. Sorry, Jarasandha had attacked Mathura so many times. Krishna and Balaram.
It's mind-boggling, isn't it, where you actually say that, you know, you have Krishna and then the first expansion is Lord Balaram, but the Balaram is also Krishna. There was an interesting thing recently that I read where Srila Prabhupada was walking with Madhavisa and Jamuna. And they were asking, what's the difference between Krishna and Balaram? And Madhavisa said, well, Krishna is white, is dark, and Balaram is white. But the difference is the color. And Jamuna said something like, "No, Krishna has pastimes with the gopis, has comfortable pastimes, and Balaram does not." And that's the difference. So they said, "Prabhupada, who's right?" He said, "Yes." I left it at that. He said, "You decide." So it's just unfathomable, you know. It's so esoteric, it's so wow, out there, where the Supreme Personality can expand himself to be his own bed, to be his own jewelry, to be his own. You know, it's just like, and it's power, I'm just a Krishna. This is Krishna consciousness. It is so far out. This is a saying that in the 70s, you know, when something was really extraordinary, we go, "Oh, far out, man." Well, this is really far out. Krishna consciousness is really far out. You had a question in your question? Be loud, boy. Okay, good. Question?
This is fun. I have four questions.
Four questions? Okay, good.
I heard in Amaritadas Prabhu's lecture that Balaram is also a guru, and like Devukasura represents, I think, so greed. So when Balaram kills Devukasura, he's actually like killing the anatta of greed inside our heart.
That's right. That's your four questions.
He's
written them down.
The first question was, like, you were talking about Maya Devi. Mm-hmm. So if, like, Maya Devi is an expansion of Durga, but if somebody is worshipping Durga, then does Durga put them in Maya?
No. When somebody worships Durga, he's saying when somebody worships Durga, is kind of Durga going to put them into Maya? It's a different incarnation again. When you worship Durga Devi, she's simply passing on your worship of her to Krishna. So we have a temple in Rock Bank, which is the Durga Mandir, Durga Devi. And if you go there, there's a beautiful deity of Ma Durga. You know, when you pray to her, then you can pray to her, "Please give me the blessing that I be a good devotee of Krishna." So this is a different role. Different role. You know, sometimes if you're in a work position, sometimes you've got to do one service, and that may be cleaning the garbage, and the other service is office work. So she has different roles. Does that make sense? Okay.
My second question is,
like, is Radharani
scared of
Balaram
or with
Jati Dhanakuti? First, Anirudh, do you want to answer anything on that first part? Did you want to answer anything on that first part? That's the difficulty.
That's mine.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. So, Radharani is scared of Balaram because, again, that big brother influence. You know, I'd like to be with Krishna, but, you know, big brother is there.
Okay. What is the difference that you're talking about the fallen condition souls? Mm-hmm. But what's the difference
the masses
and the fallen people, because it's Kali
Yuga, so... Yeah. He said, what's the difference between the top echelon of people and the everyday person? They're all fallen. Very good perception. You're absolutely correct. They're all fallen. So we have to, you know, like, I preach to people that are, you know, perhaps politicians and leaders in different religiosity and stuff, and if they're not following properly, they're all just animal life. You're right, absolutely correct.
Last one? But, Honey Ruth has a back. Go.
We acknowledge Krishna's presence within our house.
Yes.
And within the king, or the premier, or the prime minister, or whatever, they represent.
Yes.
They represent Krishna's power, Krishna's omnipotence.
Yes.
And so therefore, where even though they're all fallen, at the same time, you can tell the difference between a guy seeking the devil and a person who's at a peak of power and is in a position of control and respect. And so, because they represent that power of Krishna, we also respect them, even though we're not guessing. They may be fallen. But then, by the same time, look at people like, you know, we have friends in places of influence, and we can't have Krishna. So, we should be respectful to everybody. Even if they're all fallen, because you just never know where they're going to be in position.
Oh, absolutely. That's the difference thing altogether, where you actually have, we have to have the understanding that the person is now following the proper protocols, that they're false. But like you say, you know, it's that position that determines it. I mean, the highest position on this planet at the present stage is the President of the United States, apparently. And so if you actually analyze his personal life, is it a fortune? There's no two words in us about it. So, be forward. Yes.
You were talking about the prayer that the Prabhu was giving Prabhupada. So he said, like, may Lord Balavala. So who is Lord Balavala?
Balavala.
You mentioned Balavala. He's a demon.
Yeah, he was a demon. Yeah. Is auspicious strength of God. We call our son Balabhadra, actually. Our son, my personal son, Bhakti and I, we call our son Balabhadra. So Balabhadra was actually a demon. Any other questions? Yes.
Yeah.
It's good that the kids have got questions. What about the ladies? Any questions?
Isn't this amazing, these kids? Anyway, absolutely amazing. Thank you very much. Any other comments or questions at all from me?
So we've got a great festival coming up today. There'll be a feast at 1 o'clock. There's the Abhishek also happening. What time is it? About 10:30. There's also Harinam in the city, correct? So it's a wonderful festival day, and then this afternoon and later on this evening we have the last Dhyananatra, swinging with the deities. So it's been a beautiful festival. We're heading up to a major festival time. For those of you that live in the western suburbs, just a quick plug, we've got a pre-Jarmastami happening at Wyndham at Featherbrook, and so everybody's more than welcome to come there as well. This is a preamble, it's like the entree, so to speak. You know when you have a delicious meal, there's little entrees that you get, little pikelets and everything, so it's a little taste before the main event. So that's happening at Wyndham on Sunday, so tell your friends that come to that as well. Thank you very much. Balaram Bhordinoki! Jai! Jai!